Good afternoon. I am Dr. Christina Hines. This is Brass Tacks Sunday. And today I am joined by Mr. Wayne Willock from Ruckatuck Inc., which is his entertainment business. And I'm also joined by Mr. Anthony Sobers, who's recently joined the program to speak to us about the Pig Farmers Association, of which he is a member. He also noted some of the opportunities that he and others who are involved in this sector have found in farming. And I wanted to come back to this to ask you, Mr. Sobers, about the extent to which you think Barbados, coming out of this COVID-19 crisis, may be able to rely more heavily on domestic agriculture and farming of all types.
First thing, let me correct something that we all made a mistake for a long time. There are two entities, the Barbados Pig Farmers Association and the Barbados Pig Farmers Cooperative Society Limited.
Okay, thank you.
The association is the Barbados Pig Farmers Cooperative Society Limited. And not the Barbados Pig Farmers Association, which is the entity under the Barbados Agriculture Society. And it's something that we made a mistake with all the words, so we need to get that right. I think going forward, it is a must in relation to food security. We need to look at those areas that we can do well in and seek to really provide it with some level of support. Not only for our security, but also for export. The Barbados black belly sheep is one of them that we need to focus on, and that's something that we are focusing on. I hope this 2021, we will set our sight on perhaps purchasing for farmers any between 1,000 to 1,500 head of quality lamb. And that means animals that are less than 1 year old, about six to nine months. To retail in the industry. So that will create a fill up, and that should push another $500,000 into the economy for all local industry. But beyond that, there are also things in relation to vegetables, ground provisions, that has a lot of capacity not only for the table, but also for manufacturing. And these are the areas that we would have been identified, but not ourselves, but also in agriculture. But we need to see some level of interest and some level of support in terms of growing them out so that they're not only for, as I said, prairie production, but also for manufacturing. And to create an industry, not only for local use, but also for export. And this will give another sector, our sub-sector, or perhaps a manufacturing component to the economy in Barbados in terms of developing over the next 5 to 10 years. Other than that, we really need to push. We need to see some interest shown by major agriculture, which I know there have been, but perhaps some things is not promoted. We need to see also the Ministry of Commerce, because you have very often local persons investing high level resources in these things. And then you see they have to really compete with the level of reputation, which then kill their spirit and doesn't allow local industry to grow. For example, I saw at Christmas time, I see poor lines being retail on your local industry at $6 a pound imported, which means that they have to come in at perhaps $2 Barbados. There's no way we will compete with that sort of level of import. So we have to find a way to develop this, a lot of flesh. It not only creates revenue, it also creates revenue and employment for local people. It also creates another industry which we can grow an economy as sustain ourselves over time. So if is when and we need to go now and identify what we will do and we're going to have the money, the need as we have been doing, I think creating the environment. Lots of fair, but sometimes we need a level for the protection, especially in these very difficult times. As I said earlier, what happened to us is that while our prices have been made stable, level inputs, the input costs have been skyrocketed. So it means that it becomes very, very challenging for local industries. So that's something we need to look at and see how we can really create the environment even better for local industries to flourish in terms of output and create further employment for all people.
Okay, thank you. So what you're saying is you do think that agriculture is a viable area for earning foreign exchange for Barbados?
There are areas that I think are viable, not only for local, but also earning foreign exchange. But it needs some support and some time. It will not happen overnight. So you need, and then you also have a semi-rebuilding or towards industry. How do you juxtapose our local production, primary, secondary production, manufacturing to our local industry? That's how you have to look at and have to get it right. So that a lot of stuff that we produce not only for exporting, but also for local industry. It means that we have to do some promoting, we have to get our people on get interest to know what we're doing, what product is, how helpful it is, find a way to promote it and within the sector, a sort of lifestyle product, perhaps a nutritionist product, something in order to really get them to really what you cover up, you go to because you look at the local stuff. And this thing, we have not talked a lot about, we have not done very well. So, yes, not only local production, but also because local market is only 300,000 strong, plus the tourism sector. You have to find a way of extending that market to make it viable and meaningful for all people to continue to invest their money and stay within the whole thing.
So I have a question for you, Mr. Silvers. And this question relates to employment. So we know that one of the consequences of the COVID-19 pandemic has been that people have lost their jobs. What are the prospects for employment in this sector going forward? Especially if we do not see the type of tourism recovery that some might hope for.
I think this is where the export industry comes in, because fairly, we can easily saturate the local market with 10 million farmers. Easy. You not only have to look for local consumption, relation, primary consumption, where you have to fresh vegetables, fresh meats. You also have to look for the manufacturing component. That manufacturing now lends itself to even for the export. So not only export the primary product, which very often is challenging because it has a short shelf life, but if you get into manufacturing, then the thing about manufacturing, and very often the manufacturing requires a very low cost item. The fresh food market requires a higher price item, and very often the manufacturing market wants to have a product of a relatively good quality, but at a lower price, to allow them to really manufacture and compete in the bigger market. So these are issues that we have to sit at the table, discuss, and see how we're going to do it. We call the potential there. It's just that we have not been able or understand the best way to commercialize our activities and our business. We think it can happen overnight, and then we drop it, we move on, we say, that's a failure. But very often something, the timing is not right. And if you come back and look at it differently, you can get a success of it. But yes, there's potential for some areas in our country that we need to look at. It will take some time, and also some investment in those areas.
But in terms of manufacturing, do you think we have the capacity to manufacture at the level that would allow these products to be profitable, to be low enough cost, so that they can generate foreign exchange? Because this is one of the arguments that has been put forward for years as to why tourism continues to be our bread and butter. So we're at this juncture right now where we are questioning the continued viability of tourism considering the COVID-19 pandemic. How can we get to this place where you can have this viable connection between agriculture and manufacturing?
I see, we can never compete with large scale global manufacturing. I know that, you know that. I think what we have to do is what we've been talking a lot about, niche areas, looking to see what we could do with our products. And what sort of market you want to get them in, because it will be a high price, but you have to promote them at a level. It's like promoting a Nike pair of shoes or brand new bag. I mean, you see bags selling $800-$900, but it's promoted for a specific market, a splendor, it carries a split image and associated with the numbers, because we cannot produce for the scale of perhaps 3-4 million people, even beyond that, 30 million or whatever. So you gotta say, okay, given our smallness, your level scale of production, it's profitable maybe to do 2 million units a year, divide that by 12 or what, or what is high point, low points. And this is what specific market, you spend your money initially, focus on those areas, promote to those areas, and take it from there. Because to go the level of production, to do mass scale production, and at the prices that they're being sold at the national arena, I personally, in my opinion, we will not be successful. We got the pivotal fights. Understand what we want to produce, where we're going to produce it for, at what price, and what money we're going to spend to promote it, and how long we're going to stay with it.
Okay. Well,
thank you.
Thank you for that. Sorry, I was having a little bit of difficulty hearing you at some points, but I think what I'm gathering is that there is some potential for agriculture, manufacturing connected to this, and maybe some hope for expanding this sector that maybe has been a bit neglected in the past, so that it can supplement our earnings for the country. Let's see if we have any.
You might want to make it quick. I also say that we have to pick our fights, pick what we want to do, and stick by it. Putting the money on it means that you understand the products you want to promote in the market, you understand the markets that you want to go for, understand what it takes to promote it in those markets, and go with those initial markets. And when you create some level success, then you spread in the other markets. That is very key. Not only identify potential, but understand what you're gonna do and move with some level of perseverance into those areas.
Okay, so we need a very strategic and targeted approach to this as well.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Okay.
Great, so thanks for that. Let's see if any of our callers want to respond to anything you brought up or just to raise anything else on their own. And I'd like to ask our guests, could you please mute your mics when the calls come in so that we can hear them, please? Let's take a call. Brass Tack Sunday, good afternoon. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Yes, I would like to suggest that the second female caller today get her contact number and make her a moderator. I think she has a perfect voice. She is very clear. She doesn't distract. She sticks to the point. And she brings it all very sharply into focus. And I would like very much to help along the same path that she opened up that I don't know why you did not continue with. And that is, if you cannot control the intake, if you have a problem at the ports of call, when you have people coming in with this virus and they cannot be properly contained, if this is what you admit to doing and that there's no clear way forward, then shutting down and curfews are not going to make a difference, because you're always going to find these things popping up. And all that you're doing is harming people who just want to make a living. There comes a point where you have to accept that this thing, you're going to have to live with it, but you're not going to make it worse for everyone else because you're making decisions. The problem that we are faced in Barbados is not that COVID is killing people. It is the response to this particular virus. And you have shown perfectly. My argument last week was that we are in containment mode, that we've been in containment mode since March. We are still in containment mode. Putting up curfews and shutting down businesses at night will not make that containment mode any more contained or otherwise. We are doing the right thing, perhaps, to keep things contained, because now we have discovered that we do have this COVID thing. And we have it not because there was a bus ride. We have it because you have people coming in that you cannot track. You cannot keep in buildings. There's no way you can control that. So accept that and stop punishing people. I mean, we're going to have to live with this thing whether we like it or not. So if you want to wear a mask outside, wear your mask. I have a problem with social distancing because I think it really is an overkill after you're wearing a mask and you're doing all the sanitizing. What are you social distancing for? I mean, the chances of that virus crossing for one mask.
You have a problem with it. It's not about whether you have a problem with it. What the guidelines are for our safety. All right, let's take another call. This is Brass Tack Sunday. You are on the air. All right.
Hello.
You're not. Yes, you're on the air.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Please go ahead.
Yes, darling. Now I'm calling pertaining to the same matter that he has been discussing. I don't know, but I do a lot of reading. I am not a medical expert. I am not a medical woman, but I'm married to a man who's been in the medical field for 4 to 5 years. And I listen to him, and I listen to a lot of his colleagues. And I have been listening to them for the last 10 months pertaining to COVID. And I might not be that bright, but I do a lot of reading. And I've been reading something that caught my attention yesterday. Experts are now coming forward in growing numbers denouncing masks. Where I read on the internet.
PCR. So the internet experts you trust over our local medical professionals, the various health organizations.
To be honest with you, ma'am, I don't know who to trust. I don't know if to trust them or to trust.
Then maybe that is where we need to start.
I don't know who to trust. When they're saying that PCR tests cannot distinguish between live viruses and inactive, non-infectious viral particles, and therefore cannot be used as a diagnostic tool, they also cannot confirm that 2019 COVID is the causative agent for clinical symptoms, as the test cannot rule out diseases caused by other bacterial or viral pathogens.
Okay. All right. So I would just like to say that, you know, who are these they? And I know this is not my time to be a teacher or anything, but certainly when my students say things like they, I want to know who the they are so that we can verify that they are not people who are just putting misinformation into the public sphere. And I think with something like the COVID-19 pandemic, we do have to be very careful about the kinds of information that we put into the public domain, because it is quite confusing. And I would prefer if we focus on the information that we can verify and we can check. And I don't think that we can do that for what the caller was just referring to. I'd like to go back to our guests, because I think they've raised some quite interesting points and perspectives relating to COVID-19, the opportunities it has brought, also some of the difficulties it has brought to people who are living, existing, working in Barbados. Just to ask you, what do you think we could do going into the future to address this better, either from your perspective as a business person, a farmer, or from your personal perspectives? What do you think we can do in 2021 to make a better way for ourselves? Mr. Willock, Mr. Sobers?